from Anshe Spar Bethel Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Tetzaveh, A Clean Slate. If we look at Parshat Tetzaveh, something very strange jumps out at us. Last week, Parshat Truma, we had the main furniture of the Beit HaMikdash, Holy of Holies, as the Ark. The inner sanctuary has the menorah and the shulchan, the table with the showbread. There's another piece that's in the inner sanctuary, the heichal, and that doesn't appear until the end of Parshat Tetzaveh. So you have three centerpieces of the heichal, the inner sanctuary outside the Holy of Holies, and yet the third piece of it only appears here, not with the others, not with the menorah, not with the shulchan, the table with the showbread. Why? We're reminded of the pasuk regarding the Isha Shunamit, the woman who hosted Elijah the prophet, that she was going to make a mitab shulchan kiseh menorah. That the a basic house has a shulchan, has a table. That's what our holy sanctuary has, a holy table with the showbread. Menorah, like kiseh, need a chair. God doesn't need a chair, but the throne of God is the chair, are the cherubs that are over the ark. The ark is the resting place of God in this world. And kiseh or menorah, that's the basic house. Now, you don't live in your kitchen. The kitchen where the actual meat is roasted and all that, you don't live there. That's not living quarters. Living quarters are just the aron, the kiseh, the menorah, the shulchan. Now, Rabbi Yosef B'chor Shor, he says, he's a medieval commentator, he says, well, in your inner bedroom, you might have some air filter, like something in those days that would put a little fire and maybe a little incense to remove bad odors, especially in the olden days, there were a lot of bad odors. So you would remove that by having a little incense there. That would be in the inner quarters. The kitchen, that would be outside. And that's why last week we mentioned the outer altar where the offerings are actually offered. The outer altar, that which is really where the meat is, that's for the kitchen, that's outside the bedroom. That's outside the inner sanctuary. But still, why put it here at the end of Parshat Tetzaveh? It should be with the other pieces of the furniture. So we have given several different theories. One theory is that the other pieces were there to bring God's presence. The God's presence comes on the ark. God's presence comes through the menorah and the candle that keeps going. God's presence comes through the bread where the bread is so fresh even after a week. But the Ketores has a different purpose. The Ketores seems to have something to do with atonement. It says at the end of the parsha, the quarters of the golden altar, although usually used for incense, is a vegetarian. But once a year, you sprinkle the blood on the corners of the golden altar because you need atonement. So if there's an element of atonement, that's a different story. That's not for the resting of God. It's for the atonement so that we can have the resting of God. One might describe it as like a fumigation. It's a theory that, you know why, at the end of davening, certainly on Shabbos, but according to Nusach Sfar, the Ari, every day, you say the Pito Maktoris, Blinet. What do you say? You say the incense ingredients. Why? Because you have to fumigate. We've talked about this on other videos, that we need to fumigate before we go out into the world. The world needs fumigation. So that's what the menorah play, the shulchan, sorry, the Mizbach HaKetores plays that role, that it's the fumigation. It's a little bit set back. The menorah is closer, it's across from the table, from the shulchan. And the incense altar is set back parallel to the Holy of Holies, to the Ark, but set back further, closer to the kitchen. So why? Because you need to fumigate before you approach these other holy items. Rav Meidan thinks that that this section is actually after the golden calf was offered. And I'd like to suggest a support to that, because the next words, next week's parsha, Kitisa, starts with also atonement through the half shekel. And everybody agrees that atonement is related very, very much to the golden calf. Although the golden calf is not recorded till later. We know that the half shekel may have taken place after the sin of the golden calf. And so too here, at the end of this parsha, it speaks about kapara as well. It speaks about atonement, about Yom Kippur, the idea of the need for atonement. The Rabbi Yosef B'choshur has a fascinating theory about atonement. It says as follows. We need atonement. Look, if God forgives, he forgives. He doesn't forgive, he doesn't forgive. You can repent like we do today, and then God will forgive you, so you're fine. What do you need atonement for? God can atone without a sacrifice. So the answer is that it's good to feel clean. What does that mean? He says, if you think that you're a sinner, so you say, look, I already sinned a lot already. I'll sin some more. But if you think you're pure, you have to be very careful. You wouldn't want to defile yourself. He says, for instance, if you have a beautiful white garment, be very careful not to get any stains on it. You don't want to get ketchup on your sleeves. But if you already have a soiled garment, who cares? You'll roll in the dirt. It won't make a difference. You already wear, you're wearing your jeans, your work jeans. It doesn't make a difference. So you're not going to be that careful. Therefore, Torah has designed the incense altar to help fumigate us, purify us, and for atonement. The incense altar is that first piece of the atonement piece. Obviously, many sacrifices are for atonement. And one might argue the Beit HaMikdash has many roles of atonement. That's the Yosef B'choshur's theory. And it's a beautiful idea that we should think of ourselves as clean, pure, tzaddikim. We should think of ourselves as righteous people, and therefore we don't want to defile ourselves with all kinds of sins. The problem with this theory is that it suggests that the Beit HaMikdash is basically a place for atonement. I would like to suggest that it's not really true. The Beis HaMikdash is primarily, the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash is for the resting place of God. But in order for God to rest, we need to have atonement. In order for us to feel clean so that we can stay clean, we need to have atonement. The primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is found in the Aron, Shulchan, and the Menorah, to bring God's presence. That's our greatest hope. That's our greatest joy, is to be in the presence of God. That's when we turn toward Jerusalem, turning to the presence of God here on earth. The incense altar, these half shekel, next week, these speak to a different theme, the idea of atonement. That's also an element of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle. And this is to make sure that b'chol eit yulvanecha begadim, nekiyim, that at all times our garments should be clean. And that way, when we feel clean, we try to avoid further defilement so that we can remain clean. So you remain close with God. The ultimate goal, not only to be clean, but to remain close with God. This is our hope. This is our greatest dream. Let us hope that indeed we can keep our garments clean and remain pure all the time so we can continue to have a close relationship with God. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sfarad Beit HaLamed congregation. Join us each week for a discussion of the parsha and the various holidays. And we also want to thank Erica Siegel for sponsoring this memory of her parents, a blessed memory. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.